Welcome everyone, this is another episode of Fun.net. I'm your host Bertrand Leroy, and today in the studio with me is Sébastien Ross.
Hello.
Also known as Sébastien Ross.
Sébastien Ross. Hi.
As you and are. Okay, so you made a demo, when was it, last week or the week before, during the Orchard weekly meeting, and I thought it was a pretty awesome demo, and it actually wasn't just about Orchard, it really is about modular ASP.NET applications, and yeah, I wanted to see that demo again and show it to a different audience. So this is why I invited Sébastien to be back on the show today.
So first, I disagree. It was totally about Orchard, but the modular framework part, not the CMS part. So this was totally about Orchard. It happens that it's also a lot about standard ASP.NET MVC applications, and even more if they are modular. So yeah, but yeah, it's totally about Orchard. Orchard, the SaaS framework, the modular SaaS framework.
Yeah, so I think we need to set some context here, because the whole point of doing this on .NET and not on the regular Orchard meeting is that here you'll get a different audience that doesn't necessarily know even what Orchard is. So let's recapitulate a little bit. So a few years ago, how long ago actually? How many years
ago? For you, it was in 2009. For me, it was in 2010.
Yeah. So a long time ago, we started that project that is a CMS based on ASP.NET, and great progress was made since then. And currently there is a version that is being built that runs on ASP.NET Core, and that is a complete rewrite of the application. And what is really interesting about it is that now it is architected in such a way that you don't necessarily need to buy into everything Orchard. You can actually add bits and pieces to your application as needed, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not just a CMS. It's an application framework. And by the way, we use it to build a CMS. I think if people know about Django, it's kind of the same story. Django is a web application framework with ORMs, modules, and a web framework, and they built a CMS also on top of that. So that's kind of the same story. And you can either use Django as a framework or Django as a CMS. And it's kind of the same thing for Orchard on the .NET World and .NET Core. So yeah, and everything I will show you today, well, at the end I will show you about with Orchard CMS, how we do it with Orchard CMS, but we should not talk about CMS at all, actually, and see how it works.
Yeah.
Good?
Sounds good. So let's just go to the demo right away, and let's
yeah,
get
I was
going.
Too lazy to make slides, but not as lazy to not prepare the demo, so it should be beautiful. So the idea is, when we build ASP.NET applications, we could have a monolithic, full-blown, full of components application, but you might also want to separate all your features or zones or whatever you want to call them in your application into different projects, either for being able to compose your application based on different modules, plugins, elements, or if you just want to organize your solution in different projects so that maybe multiple teams or devs can work on different things at the same time without colliding. So to do that right now in ASP.NET Core, it's not possible. There is nothing to do that. So what we've been doing with Orchard is to provide a solution for that. And now the result I will be about to show you should be very seamless when you know how to develop ASP.NET Core applications. So the first thing I will do is just create a standard web app, just to see the issues we could face. So I have a blank solution. I will create a new project, and I will do an ASP.NET Core web application like this, an empty one. So there is nothing, okay? So I will focus on the MVC framework for the demonstrations, but everything you see here can work without MVC with pure ASP.NET core applications, and can also work with other frameworks like Nancy. So we have a sample that shows how to build Nancy applications on ASP.NET Core using modules. So the demo will be focused on MVC, but you can apply it anywhere. So here, if I wanted to create a new controller, I will, or let me grab some files to be easier. So if I take some controllers and views in my web app, that's how you will do that. You will create a controller and a view for this controller. And you want to create a new controller, so you create multiple controllers. And you will create another view. But everything will be in the same applications. So the goal here is to be able to extract these components as different modules, independent modules, that you can reuse further. So what I will do is create a new project. And I will call it, so it will be a class library. And I will call it module1. And for this, now to make it a module, I will need to reference a NuGet package. And this NuGet package is on a MyGet feed that I have already configured in this NuGet config that I will show you. So if I paste this one at the solution level, I will need to reload my solution. And now if I go to manage NuGet packages on this module, I should be able to see Orchard packages and select Orchard core.asmodule. Okay, I will search for that. Oh, browse, that's the default tab, that's why. So I will select this module, this package, and install it. And this, first thing I need to do is actually to target NetStandard 1.6 because it's not the default. This could be solved with a template, but at some point it will change. So I install it because this package requires standard 1.6. And at this point, this library is now a module. It will behave like a module for the web apps that know about module. What I want to do is an MVC app. So I will just reference now from NuGet, I will reference Microsoft.ASP.NET Core MVC because I want to create an MVC module. So I need all the MVC things. Done, and now I can take controllers and views. I will just keep one controller and one view. I will call it home controller. Here, home controller return view, and in this one, home index, and I will display a message. Hello from module one, just to show that this is this controller for module one and this view from module one. Okay, that should be good. So I save this thing, and now here I need my web application. So I don't want the controllers anymore on the views. I will remove them because I want to make them as modules. So here my web app is an empty web app. There is nothing special, but I want it to be a modular web application. So for that, I will use a package that is called orchardcore.modules.mvc. This is what we call a bundle package. It will reference everything which is necessary to make this web app modular, and also an MVC module to enable MVC as a module. It will embed it by default. Like you also have an Orchard Core modules Nancy to have a Nancy module that will enable Nancy, and an Orchard Core modules that will just have no MVC, no Nancy for ASP.NET Core apps. But this one is for MVC, so I will just install it. Accept. Finished. And now in my startup, which right now just serves an Hello World middleware, I will say app.useModules. Okay, this is provided by the Orchard Core Modules package. And here I will add the services for modularity. It's called add modules. can't be simpler. And with just that, every module that is used in this web app will behave as it was part of this app. So what I haven't done so far is just say that my web app uses this module one. So I will just add a reference on module one. Okay? So empty web app depends on Orchard Core modules MVC. I use the services and the middlewares for the modules. Points to a module class library, and I should be able to build it and run it directly. Okay, so I have nothing, it's a 404 because there is no home route. So if I go to the default route, which is name of the module, slash controller, slash action, now I get the view from my module, okay? And this is the web app, totally without anything inside. It's taking the controller and the view from the module.
Right, so the application project here has nothing. All it does is wire things up, reference to the package, reference to the other project, which is what has the controller and the view.
Correct. It's a pure app. There is. Beautiful. So now the first thing you can say is it's not very nice looking. So what we can do in MVC app is use layouts and things like this. But if we have modules, we don't want to put the layout in a module. We want it to be in the app. So I can reuse my module without having to define how it looks like in the final web app. So what I will just do here is, because it's a standard MVC app in the end, I can just use a layout from an MVC app. So here I need to stop the app first. What I'm doing here is I'm copy pasting the view start and views, which means the layout of the MVC web app. This is the one that you will find in the default sample or default web application template from Visual Studio for an MVC app. So this is using Bootstrap, I think, and that's it. It's just simple layout, a menu, and done. So here I pasted my views in the web application one, and I will restart my app. So the modules, they don't know about this layout. But what the, I need to go to the same route. And now the view from the module is using the layout from the web application. Okay. So you can have modules which are independent from how they will look like in the end, at least the layouts from the MVC app. So I think this is nice. Now we have one module, but it's limited to controllers and views. What you can do also in a module is provide middlewares, because it's just a standard ASP.NET core project. You can provide middlewares, you can also define the routes. You see that it's not very useful to use the default route here, so I will bind my controller view to the home page. So for that, I will add a NuGet package, which is letting you do that. So I will just go on this feed for Orchard and use, what is that? Microsoft.ASP.NET Core MVC abstractions. So this one contains abstractions to make your modules better in MVC. And now what I can do is this class, which is empty, I will call it startup. So if you have built ASP.NET Core applications, you must know about this startup file. This is the same one here. Okay, this is a startup file with the configure services and configure. This one to configure all the services for your container, and this one to configure the settings and also middlewares. So here I will have a startup, and I will inherit from a class that was provided by the package I just referenced, which is called startup base. And this one now I can do override and do configure and configure services. So in configure services, I could provide services. So modules can also provide services, logging services, any service you want to use in your application. And modules can cooperate with each other. Like one module could just want to resolve a service that is provided by another one. And this way you can, with modules, provide new behaviors just by referencing a module, which will provide the default implementation of a service or override the implementation of existing services. So here I will just want to configure my route. So I will do, I have access to routes, which is a route builder. Let me see. Oh, I said configure services, and I want the configure one. Configure, and I have access to the route builder for my web app. So I can say routes.mapArea. And a name, I will say module one home. It wants an area name. It will be module one, because internally in MVC, a module is behaving like an area. The template is nothing to do the home page. And now I can say it will bind to controller home and action index. And now I will just build my web app. Because it references module one, it will also build module one. Start it. And the home page of my web app is now module one home controller index view.
Okay, so what happens if you have two modules that fight for the same route?
If you have two modules that provide the same route, it will fail. It will I assume it will take one, but that's something the app has to solve. Or maybe the module should not define routes like this or use namespaces like the default route.
Right, but the homepage is a prime example of a common resource that needs to be,
yes.
There can be conflict over.
You should maybe define the homepage from your web app, from your configuring web app. So you can say the web homepage is module one controller, whatever.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So yeah, so it's not the module that would just authoritatively take over the homepage, but you would have the web application that would route the home to something else that the module provides.
As an example, you could also have another module that will provide a home route, which could be from many other modules. This is what we have in Orchard CMS.
Yes.
We have a module to manage the home route, which can be configured to point to any other module. That's how we do that. Because we have to redefine dynamically what is the home route. So another module can define another module's route as the home route. So that's interesting. So here, and what you can do also, just as an example, is add middlewares from a module, not just controllers and view. You can add anything that is available in ASP.NET Core, like middlewares. So here I can do map, and I will say hello with a slash, and it's called branch. And here I will do branch dot run and async context, and then await context dot response dot write async hello. This is that. This is it. Write async, confine write async. Maybe you're using. Okay. Done. I build my app. So what I'm doing here is we have a home route, but it will intercept this route and just write hello on the back end. Play. So my home page will be the same. But now I can provide slash hello and have hello. And because it's middleware, it doesn't go through MVC and the layouts and everything, it just returns hello. Which means you can also write, for instance, web APIs from modules, from middlewares, from even from MVC. So that's how you can... Oh, that's just saying that the quality is good. Thank you. That's how you can customize your startup. Now, next thing, I only have one module. So what's happening if I have two modules? So I will create a second one. So now you should know how to do that. Simple class library, call it module two, .NET standard. I will first change is target framework to 1.6, like this. Then I will create the same controller and views as the other module. The controller here, the view there. And instead, I will say module 2, just to show that you can have multiple modules in a web app. So this should, I need to reference the as module package.
And did you reference the second module from the?
Not yet. Okay, and now I can just reference the second module. Okay, and without changing anything in the web app, it will detect the modules and just use it. So if I run it, it doesn't build. This is an IntelliSense issue with Razor files in module, in class libraries. It will be fixed at some point. So what is the, I need to reference MVC from this project also. So NuGet. Install the NuGet MVC package. And now my home page will still be module 1, but now I have access to module 2/home/index, and it's also using the same layout. So we can see that we can have controllers and views from different modules. They won't collide, it will work, they will be taken into account automatically, the routes will be done based on the module name, and that's all good. So something people ask usually when they see that is, the modules, they don't live in the web application. How do you support static files? So static files are not served by default in ASP.NET Core. So for instance, if I put an image here, let me put an image. I have lots of images. I have kittens. So if I put a kitten here, in my data brute, I need to be able to serve it. If I run my application, I will not be able to do web app /kittens. It will not work because it's not served. The middleware is not enabled by default. This application is an empty application. It doesn't have the static file server middleware. So here I will just say use static files. Okay, standard. And if I run, it will be quick. Homepage. And if I do /kittens.jpg, I can see my image. But what if this image is coming from a module? So by default, the Orchard framework will look for a content folder in a module. Which one do I want to use? Module 1. If I create a content folder, like the dub root, it could be called dub root. Maybe something we should configure later. I put my kittens.png jpeg, and I will run. And what I will do instead is to show how you want to use it. So here from my module, I can, for instance, add an image on this view that will go to module1/kittens.jpg. That's a convention. The static files in the content folder are served at the root, like the dub root for my web app is served at the root of the web app. Here it's at the root of the component. And I will run it.
Can you change the route?
No, but that should be some options that you define in the modules, like, yeah.
Right, yeah, if you don't want the name of the module to appear in the path.
You might have Well, yeah, but same thing for routes. You need to, okay, yeah. If I assume you should be able to do that, yeah. Technically, you can, because static file provider will support that. You can map the middleware with other routes. And you see here, so now the module that is used in my web app is providing some static files which can be used in the module. They could be used in the other modules if they know about the asset. But here in the my module, I can use it. And this is a JPEG file, but this can be a JavaScript file, a CSS, anything. So modules can provide any static
icons,
content.
Styles.
Yeah. Exactly. Script. And this is what you want to build, modules which are running on the web. Okay, and here it works. So that's about the static files. Now, the next thing I want to show you is that I'm on a solution, but I want to run this app in production. So I need to deploy it. So what I will do, I will go open the command line. I will go to my solution folder in the web app. And if you were doing standard ASP.NET Core development, what you will type is, Bertrand, do you know? Quiz?
.NET publish.
.NET publish. So let's say it's a standard ASP.NET web app, and I will target another temp folder that I will call web app 1. Okay, as simple as that. And the goal here is to also deploy all the modules and the glue to make it work. So then .NET. .NET publish. Enter. 1, 2, 3, you see it's packaging the modules. And now if I go on temp web app 1 and I do .NET web application .dll, I run it. As a reminder, in the startup there is an add console which might not be good if you run in production because it will slow down things. But here it's interesting because we'll see what's happening. So if I go and I paste my URL, this is a Chrome first request which does by default. It works, okay? So I deployed my app and I have everything and my module is working, and I should also be able to access module 2. It works too. And I should be able to access hello, the middleware. Everything works. And here, if I go up, you will see that in the log, it will show you that it's loading the modules. So it's interesting because I can see here module 1, module 2. I can also see an orchard.mvc module, which was provided by the orchardcore.mvc package to provide the MVC binding, like the services add MVC and use MVC. And it's interesting because if you had an issue with a module, it will also be displayed, like can't load this module or something happened, and then the standard trace. So now you can deploy. So I think that's already nice, but one of the goals of the module development is to be able to reuse them across projects and maybe to share them with some other developers or companies or whatever. So how do you share class libraries in .NET? Usually you use NuGet. So let's say I want to share module 1. Okay, I will do right click, pack, and this creates a NuGet package. It's just .NET pack on the command line. There is nothing special, .NET pack. So now I will have access to this package. Here, my module has been packaged, and I will push it on a MyGet feed on the My Awesome Modules feed. There is no package here. I will add a package from NuGet for NuGet from this file here add package. It works with NuGet.org. It works with any NuGet gallery. So now module 1 is on the gallery, and I will create a new web application just to show you how you will do that if you shared your modules or if you wanted to use shared modules. So new project, .NET Core, standard web application 2, okay, empty, no authentication. So what I need, like earlier, I will just make this modular application. So I will manage a NuGet package and say I want from this feed the orchard core.modules.mvc. I want a modular MVC application. Accept. So this is MVC and modular. I will just do app dot sorry services dot add modules app dot use modules. Okay, it's a new web app. I don't need static files here. My module will provide static files for its own assets, and I will add manage a NuGet package from this feed which are already configured. Browse. If I remove everything, it should show the only package, module one. I will install module one in my web app. Done. Make it a startup project and run. And I have the module one with the resource which has been packaged and deployed, served in no layout because this web app doesn't have a layout. I could have a layout, I don't care. I could have a custom layout. This way your modules can be customized for each web application you want to use them in. So that's it. And same thing, just quickly, just to show how easy it is, the web application two, solution two, web application two. I will publish this web application. But first, let me do something. I have one module which I reference from a NuGet package, and I will also reference the module two from my local solution, just to show that you can mix all these packages or modules from NuGet packages or local ones, and it will work. So I will just reference it, build it. And here .NET publish output temp web app 2. Module 1 is coming from the NuGet package. Module 2 is coming from a local project. Temp web app 2 .NET web application 2 .dll. And if I go on port 5000, do I have one here running? Yes, here. This is Chrome sending the first request to startup, and it works. And you see there is no layout, so you can realize that it's coming from the new web app I created. And everything will work like module 2 coming from a local project. Good?
Nice.
I think that's it for the main demonstrations. There is just one more thing. Once you have it, so I think it already covers everything you can imagine. Something you can do also with Orchard is not just building modular applications. You can also have multi-tenancy, which means the same web app can run the services and middlewares for different contexts based on the domain name you hit the site with or based on a URL prefix. So let me show you how you can do that. By default, when you create a web app, you don't care about tenants. It just runs in a standard way. But you can also configure this guy to say that you want to enable multi-tenancy. And you just do with tenants. And in this case, in this example, I will just use a static file that will describe which tenants you want to use. So tenants.json. And this file defines two tenants, one named Contoso and one named Acme. And you can see here that I will enable module one for Contoso, and I will use module one and module two for Acme. And here, for Contoso, I will use a URL prefix named Contoso. The URL prefix is the first segment of the URL that will let the application know that you want to target the Contoso tenant.
So you're configuring it so that you have effectively two websites running in the same application, and with different configurations, with different set of modules.
Exact. Yep. So here, ACME will be the ACME prefix. And I could have used the domain, like if I reach contoso.com on this web app, it will trigger this configuration. If I used acme.com or acme.org, it will have triggered this configuration. In this case, I don't want to use domains, I just want to use URL prefixes. And the end result here is, let me run that. So I just changed my setup to say now configure tenants, and here is the tenants information. So I run the web app. This web app is using a NuGet package and a local module. So now by default, nothing is reached because I need to go to Contoso to get the homepage of Contoso. The homepage of Contoso is provided by module one, okay? Contoso has module one. ACME has module one and module two. So Contoso doesn't have module two. So if I go to module two for Contoso, I will have a 404, okay? If I go to the same thing for ACME, I will have the module. So now, not only can you reuse the modules, but you can choose which modules you want to enable for different, let's say, customers or services, if you want to reuse the same web app to support different customers or services. This is a multi-tenancy app. This is also called a software as a service. So you can add more customers or more endpoints based on the demand or whatever you want. And something else which is interesting is, as Bertrand mentioned, you can have custom configuration. So in this case, I just created a my connection string property because it will make sense for you if you create a database backed application. You might want to change the connection string, the database per customer. So you just do that. And to show you how to use it, let's see. If I stop this, I will go in module two. Let's see, module two, module one. Ah, module one is a NuGet package, that's sad. So yeah, if you want to reuse that, you can access a service or a feature actually in ASP.NET Core and get the value and check if the current tenant is ACME or Contoso, or get the value to configure your database. Okay, that's the idea. So now you can also do that.
Does it look like the usual configuration API?
So or, this
is it the same configuration API?
No. We support the default configuration API, but they will be common to all tenants. The configuration is common to all tenants. This is, you access a tenant object and you will have access to these properties. We will see if we can plug into the default configuration and just apply configuration based on this file, or even just use the standard configuration to provide tenant information. We'll see. But it's customizable. This one was just done in a few hours to show how you can configure tenants from a static file.
You could see how tenants could become a section in configuration.
Exactly.
Just access them by name and
exactly. That's it. So now you understand everything you can do with modules and how they work. I will just show you how we use this modular framework in Orchard. And in the end, if you want now to create an Orchard CMS web application, you just create a web app. Empty.
Yeah, because so far what we've seen is all that has been developed in the while building Orchard, and it's been built for Orchard, but you can use it in any ASP.NET application. And now you're going to actually add Orchard itself, the CMS,
to
the same application.
Not to the same application, but yes, I could actually.
You could.
I could. But the standard way to do that is actually to use the Orchard. So what you see here for web application one and two, I use what I call a bundle. We call it a bundle. This is the Orchard Core Modules MVC. This will reference the module services and middlewares and add also an MVC module by default. I have a bundle for Orchard. This bundle will reference the same thing, the modules and services for the middleware and services for modules, the MVC package, but also lots of other packages which are NuGet that will provide CMS features. CMS-based modules. So here I just do add NuGet package. I go to the same thing and I will do Orchard on the Browse tab. Orchard, and you see in this package, body, limo, menu, admin, alias. So on this field, we have lots of modules, okay, that are useful for CMS or not, because there are also modules that are not linked to CMS. So if I do orchardcore.cms, I will take this package. It will reference many other modules. So it takes more time. Okay, accept. This is for the license. Yep, from MVC. And in the startup, I won't say add modules only, because it adds more services and configuration. I will say services.addOrchardCMS, and here app.useModules. Okay, and I will set that as a startup project. I will run this, and there is a module in this set of reference modules that is taking care of the homepage. Okay, like I explained, like we did for module one. And there is also a module which will detect that there is no tenant, for instance, and will take over the homepage and will say, oh, you need to do something because you never registered any tenant. You didn't use the tenants.json file, and I need a tenant. So Orchard CMS needs a tenant. So it says, okay, this is the view that you want. And this module will also be able to run scripts on the creation of the tenant or configure the database. So it's asking for many things that are useful for CMS. I click Finish Setup, and another module will take over and serve a new homepage. But this is all part of the script. And in this case, it's creating a blog with some blog posts. It's also creating an About page. Okay. And there is a module which will let you authenticate and manage users. And this is why I can authenticate and also manage users. And there is yet another module that provides an admin side, and another one that will provide content management, and another one which will provide themes. So in the end, we have, let's say, tens of modules that are referenced by this bundle to create an ecosystem of modules and create a full-featured web application. So the idea is that anyone can create their own set of modules for their own ecosystem. Let's see, for instance, NobCommerce. NobCommerce is a modular e-commerce. They could totally use this framework and create their own ecosystem of modules to build e-commerce websites. Okay? Or you can have your own one and publish everything on your own gallery just to rebuild the same app again and again by just changing pieces of your modules or your web application for different customers.
And creating your own gallery for your own application is as simple as creating a feed on MyGet.
Correct. Even a shared folder can be a NuGet feed.
Yes.
So and then you create your own ecosystem of modules. And you can then create also a bundle package to reference the modules you want. So when you create a new web app, you just reference one package, and everything comes with this package.
Okay. We've seen earlier how you could configure, enable modules from that JSON file. Can you show how you do that with the CMS when you have the CMS installed?
So in this example, we configure a service to say we look for the tenants in the tenants.json file. Orchard CMS doesn't use this one. It uses one which stores the tenants more dynamically than a JSON file and can start with no tenant. So in this case, where is the web app? I restarted because I lost the URL. I don't know the port. And this management of tenants is provided by a module. This module you can reuse, actually. So here I'm on the tenant that was created using the setup. And if I go to the admin, there is a tenants page which lists all the tenants, like you see running default, and the properties that we saw in the JSON file, like the URL prefix, the hostname. Okay? And I can create a new tenant and call it Contoso and use Contoso as the URL prefix. I don't want a hostname. And this module here knows that Orchard needs a database, so it will ask for which database we want to use, which table prefix if you want to reuse the same database again and again, and a connection string. I have my tenant created. So now if I go on this tenant, and you see I go by doing slash Contoso, the same story again, because the same set of modules, the same middlewares and services will provide me with the new setup screen for this tenant. And here I can say Contoso and use a different recipe to enable different modules and different data, but I will use the same. And now I have another website or another set of data and services on this URL. Okay, this is a different website. So if I was to change the blog post on this one, it will not be the same on the Contoso blog post.
And they can also have their own set of modules enabled or disabled.
The same
configured differently.
So the same way we can configure them in the JSON file, in this case of the CMS, we can go.
So here you're in the admin of the new tenant?
I'm in the admin of the default tenant, the main one, but if I go to Contoso.
Yeah, they also have separate admins,
separate admins.
Set of users. Yep. They are different websites.
And you saw I was authenticated on the default one. I was not authenticated on the Contoso one, so there was no leak of cookies, for instance. And here it's displaying all the available modules, which are referenced, but not enabled, not used actually. They are there, but not used, like response cache. So if you want response caching, which is an ASP.NET Core middleware from a different ASP.NET Core package, I just click enable and this tenant only will have that. Okay? That's the idea. So here almost everything is enabled, but yeah, open ID, whatever. Okay? That's the idea.
Cool. Very nice. That's all you had?
That's all I have.
Okay. Well,
questions?
No, I think this is pretty impressive. So I do have a question about performance, because the Orchard team did a lot of work around performance, and it also benefits from the performance improvement in ASP.NET Core.
Yes, but it's fast. But this is, well, there are two things. Well, first, when you talk about modularity, there must be an impact. I don't know how much, but it must be so few, because everything is loaded like in user web app. It's just about composing the modules. So there is nothing that should slow down a web app if it's based on modules. Okay. There is this maybe tenant resolution if you have multiple tenants, but that's it. If you have one tenant, this is the same thing as a standard ASP.NET application. So there is no impact on the performance. Then, so it's fast as ASP.NET Core. If you want to call about the CMS, I think that's different discussion.
Yeah, I think it is interesting, because we've been showing the performance of ASP.NET Core in the context of benchmarks. And one question that a lot of people ask when you show them that is, okay, but how does it work for a real application? And here we have a very substantial real-world application that is a full-blown CMS, and I think it's really interesting to see how the perf improvements translate to such a case.
Yeah, so I just to show you, so I have set up a blog here, okay, it's the standard blog recipe. It's in debug mode, and I'm currently debugging, so it's slowing down everything, okay? It's not released and it's debugging, it's a very bad example. But if you want to run something, I can go quickly use GoBench and do that. So hitting, let's say I will take a blog post. Okay. And here I can say 10 concurrent connections, and for 5, 10 seconds. 10 seconds, pipelined, and the URL here. So this is a bad example, but the end result on this machine on release without debugging is about, let's see what it does here. This one is very bad. Something is happening.
Yeah, that's
here.
Not good.
No, that's not good. So on that demo effect, tweets per second. Bad questions, Bertrand. Yesterday I ran it and it was about 2,800 requests per second with a 20 millisecond time to last byte. Okay, so it's a lot. It's like 100 times faster than Orchard 1.
And Orchard 1 was not slow.
And if you add the response cache module, for instance, which is the middleware that the SPI team has built, you reach on this machine 60,000 requests per second, and it's limited just by the loopback internet connection. So that's it. If you run on a server, it will be like hundreds of thousands of requests per second on a normal server with a gigabyte connection.
On an actual application.
On a real network.
Yeah.
So that's super fast. Can't be faster.
It can't be faster.
Even static files will be slower if you use a response cache thing. But still, yeah, it's fast.
All right.
I just wanted to focus on modules. So it will be another show, Orchard CMS performance, later.
Yeah, sure. Sure. That would be very interesting. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Sébastien.
Thank you.
I hope that many people will see the benefits of this. And I do have another question. How ready is this? Can people actually download it and use it?
So if you want to use the full-fledged Orchard project, it's on GitHub here. Orchard 2, and it will contain all the modular project, but also the CMS. If you just want to redo what I just did, you can use this feed for now. We'll have, once we ship the first stable packages, like the beta next month, or this month, at the end of this month, they will be on nuget.org, but right now they're on myget. This is the feed I'm using, and you can use that. And we'll publish the new URL as we go to a more standard myget feed. Because this is my own one, but you can reuse that. So you can use that to create your own modular applications today.
Okay. How stable is it?
Well, I can't make it fail, so maybe, but I can't. I can make the CMS fail. There are bugs, but the modular framework, you could use it and it works.
Okay.
There is nothing special about it. The bugs you will have will be in your code. You saw the demos, controller, static files,
NuGet
packages, deployment.
It looks very stable, but so you had a script for your demo, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, there will be the bugs that people will report.
Okay. So people should use it if it's useful to them.
I think so.
It's open source.
Yeah, I won't get rich if you use it, that's fine. If you don't use it either, that's okay.
If you find bugs, file bugs, fix them.
And we'll fix them.
Yeah. Or they can fix themselves.
Or you can fix them. Yeah, even better.
All right. Very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sébastien. Thanks, everyone, for watching. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for another show. Bye.